Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. Picket lines are going up this morning in Chicago, where negotiations between teachers and the school district are in limbo. With virtually no chance of a settlement before the scheduled opening of classes tomorrow, the Chicago walkout promises to add 430,000 students to the 266,000 others affected by walkouts in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and the state of Washington. More on the Chicago story from Alan Bickley of CBS radio station WBBM.
It's the 10th time since 1969 that Chicago teachers have struck, the fourth time in the last 5 years. With them are the 12,000 members of 20 other unions that maintain the buildings, see that the equipment works, and feed the students. The unions are counting on that kind of power to win what they call a modest pay increase, smaller classes for the teachers, and restoration of 3 workdays cut from the budget. But Superintendent Manfred Byrd says the state legislature has imposed a hard fiscal discipline on the Chicago School Board.
Instead of receiving dollars, we were cut, and we had to go into that tentative budget and cut $60 million out of it, and it just left us without any resources financially.
The teachers' union has suggested that money sufficient to settle the dispute can be found somewhere in the budget. The board says there'll be no such miracle. If the two sides are counting on the legislature to intervene, they must wait until October. Union President Jackie Vaughn says her people are ready to picket until Christmas, if that's what it takes to win a contract. Alan Bickley for CBS News, Chicago.
A Labor Day rally in support of striking workers in Coshocton, Ohio, turned ugly when hundreds of demonstrators, led by women and children, tried to storm the gates of the Stone Container Corporation. Police fired tear gas to disperse the demonstrators after they started throwing rocks and other missiles. 4 people were slightly injured and 2 arrests were made. The arrival of damper weather has brought relief to the army of firefighters doing battle with the West's worst plague of forest and brush fires in decades. We hear about it from CBS News correspondent Terry Drinkwater in the California Sierra.
For most, the long ordeal of fire is over this morning. Thousands of evacuees have been allowed to return to their homes. There is relief and joy.
It isn't fancy, but it's home.
Some have been in refugee centers for 10 days. The biggest of the blazes in the state has now been at least partially contained. Fewer than 200 fires in all are still raging out of control. And that is just a fraction of the nearly 2,000 started by the devastating series of lightning storms last week. Several firemen were injured overnight fighting the Shasta Trinity blaze. Many of the stubborn remaining hotspots are in the most rugged parts of the Sierra. And for those doing battle, smoke inhalation is a peril. But if the favorable weather holds, this worst run of fires in California history will soon be over. Terry Drinkwater, CBS News in the Sierra.
The influx of firefighters to the western states has left the state of Hawaii with a grim situation. There's a major brush fire there, which has already charred 10,000 acres in and around Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. But the state has sent so many volunteers to the mainland that it's having a tough time finding enough people to man the lines at home. Cleanup day in San Antonio after a fierce thunderstorm with hurricane-force winds raked the city yesterday. Bob Crowley of CBS radio affiliate WOAI is covering.
San Antonians in every section of the city are cleaning up the damage from yesterday afternoon's storm. 80-mile-an-hour winds raked the city, uprooting trees, smashing windows, and trashing signs. Chainsaws sang throughout the night as work crews tried to clear blocked streets. Judith working didn't even watch as the trees in her yard were uprooted.
I was in a closet underneath the stairs. When a wind comes up that high, you get someplace safe.
A few blocks away, a 550-foot communications tower came crashing down onto an apartment complex. 5 diners were injured when a plate glass window blew in at a restaurant. The police department lost 6 squad cars when a transformer and power pole fell on them. Parts of the city are still without electricity. Utility crews were spread thin by the 65 different outages they were trying to repair. As a result, burglar alarms set off by the power outages rang through the night. Bob Crowley for CBS News, San Antonio.
Heavy rains in northern Venezuela triggered massive floods, leaving 20,000 people homeless in Maracay, the South American nation's 5th largest city. 120 bodies have been recovered there. About 250 other people are missing. The Chadian military command is claiming more than 1,700 Libyans were killed during a weekend attack on a Libyan airbase. The communique also claims 22 Libyan aircraft were destroyed. Chadian forces and the French troops supporting them have been put on alert in anticipation of retaliatory raids by Libya. Alfred Schmidt is home in West Germany less than 24 hours after he was freed from an 8-month ordeal in the hands of kidnappers in Lebanon. As we hear from correspondent Tom Fenton in Bonn, there's more to the story of Schmidt's freedom than meets the eye.
There's speculation this morning about what kind of a deal the West German government may have made for Schmidt's release. A West German businessman claims he paid a $5 million ransom to Schmidt's Lebanese kidnappers. He predicts that another West German hostage, Rudolf Cordes, will be released soon. A West German government spokesman has thanked Syria and Iran for putting pressure on the kidnappers, but the government denies that any deal has been made to free the Hamadi brothers. Schmidt and Cordes were kidnapped by a group seeking the release of the Hamadis, who are awaiting trial in a West German jail on terrorist charges. One of the brothers, Muhammad Ali, is charged in connection with the hijacking of a TWA jet to Beirut in 1985 and the killing of an American sailor. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Bonn.
Jury selection gets underway this morning in the trial of four white youths accused of attacking three black men in the Howard Beach section of New York City's Queensboro and chasing one man to his death struck by a car when he ran onto a highway. It's a case that's become a national symbol of racial strife, arousing controversy. Correspondent Richard Schlesinger reports.
From the start, black leaders criticized the investigation, charging the police and the district attorney with covering up. A special prosecutor was appointed and 12 white teenagers were indicted. The four who go on trial today face murder or manslaughter charges. The special prosecutor says despite all the attention, he will try this case like any other.
I just don't think there is a shred of support in the claim that we've turned it into a race case. We haven't.
But lawyers for the four white teenagers say their clients are victims of a politically motivated prosecution. They have said the incident itself was nothing more than an argument in which one of the black men brandished a knife.
People come to court and they're armed with this idea that it is a racial incident. And what's going to happen is we're going to have a very difficult time finding a jury that won't be afraid to acquit these defendants of this crime.
Finding a jury is expected to take weeks because of the publicity surrounding this case. Richard Schlesinger, CBS News, New York.
In the early Wall Street trading today, the Dow Industrials are down 12.75, standing at 2548.63. The big board volume so far today is 45 million shares. It's 10 minutes past 7.